Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Hey, it is so good to see you tonight. Thank you for joining us for our midweek service. Hey, take your Bible with me and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is our seventh sermon in the book of 1 Corinthians. As we read the verses, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and I've given my thoughts the title, Mere Servants. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes, "So look at Apollos and me as mere servants, servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. So, don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the Lord returns, for He will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have this evening, Lord, to break the bread of life together. Open our hearts to receive and give us ears that would hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Lord, may we leave this service knowing that we've been challenged by your word. Transform and conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. I want to start this evening by talking about how the Apostle Paul viewed himself. How the Apostle Paul viewed himself. So why is Paul dealing with the view that he has of himself and Apollos' role? The reason is there were fractions in the spiritual body in Corinth. A kind of spiritual competition of who was following the greater minister, Apollos or Paul. The spiritual competition had digressed into questions of Paul's apostleship and authority. Now, I want you to notice something tonight, Saint. Notice how the enemy works. The enemy seeks to divide people and then degrade individuals. See, the Apostle Paul is establishing a proper view of those who are sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 1. "So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries." I want to take this verse and break it down just for a moment. Notice the phrase, mere servants. The original word means this, a under rower, a under seaman, properly known as an underling or servant or attendant or assistant. The word that Paul uses here for servant is the only time used in the New Testament. And it meant an under rower, example being this, one who rowed in the lower parts of a larger ship. So get this picture in your mind. Paul says that we're just mere servants. We are the ones who are below the deck, and we are making the ship move forward because we're serving That's our role. From this, it came to signify service in general. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that he and Apollos were simply servants of God. Let's go back to chapter 3 just for a moment. Look at verse 5. Paul writes this, "After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us." Who are we? We're simply servants. Now, what is really neat about this verb in verse 1 is the emphasis or the stress of the word servant is subordination and a responsibility to a superior. So how did the apostle want the Corinthians to view him and Apollos? He wanted them to view himself as a servant who is subordinate to or has a responsibility to God the Father. Now let's apply this to ourselves. What a great thought for each of us as we are considered servants of God. May we always remember, as servants of God, we are those serving under authority of another. In our culture, where position is so important, may we never forget that we are servants of the Father, subordinate to the presence of God. Paul writes in other places, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news." Yes, his responsibility was to spread the good news, but he was a servant first to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, he says, "God has given me the responsibility of serving the church by proclaiming his entire message to you." Paul, trying to deal with the competition that was in the church of Corinth, reminded them that he and Apollos was simply servants, mere servants of Jesus Christ. And he says that we have been put in charge. There's a different Greek word here. The King James uses the English word steward. See, a steward is one who is put in charge of something, one who supervises or has charge of or direction of. Some do well to think of one who manages. It carries the idea of to administrate and or to manage the affairs of a house. So this steward, talked about in biblical language, held a responsibility and a responsible position. They were set over others and directed the day-to-day affairs of a household. But the steward was still subject to a master. And in biblical times, they were often a slave. So in relation to the master, he was a servant. But in relation to the slaves, he was the master. That's what a steward is. See, a minister under the authority of his heavenly master has a responsibility, Paul says, of explaining God's mysteries. So the apostle is trying to take the focus off of the individuals and to get the church to realize that the ministers are servants, first of all, to God, who's been given a responsibility, and the responsibility is to explain God's mysteries. See, the sphere of a preacher's responsibility is divine revelation. You think about that. Paul says, my responsibility as a minister of the gospel of Christ is divine revelation. Bruce Barton writes in his commentary, the mystery of the plan of salvation, these mysteries cannot be discovered or comprehended by human wisdom, but they have been entrusted to God's workers to be carefully and responsibly taught to others. So here in the context, the apostle is dealing with the conflict that is happening in the church of Corinth. And he's reminding them that he, Apollos, and Peter, that they are mere servants of the Lord. Matter of fact, they have been called to have responsibility, that they are stewards of something that was given to them. And as a steward, they are to manage it well. So before we move to the next point, let me challenge you. How do you see yourself? Can I challenge us tonight to see yourself as a servant of Christ? So as a servant of Christ, will you work with all your might for him? In a very real sense, we are all stewards of the things of God. So let's ask a personal question. How are we managing our spiritual affairs? We being stewards of what God has given us, how are we managing those responsibilities? Let's talk about, secondly, the ultimate goal. Look at verse 2. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager, as a steward, must be faithful. Wow. The goal of a steward is to be found faithful. Now, I thought about this. A steward has a lot of room. Let me explain. A steward, by very nature of his responsibility, has a lot of room to work. Now, what do I mean by this, that we have a lot of room? See, a steward or manager was given a lot of leeway or room to navigate things as they thought best. Leon Morris writes this, in the nature of the case, the work of such a man was not closely supervised. If the master was to check up on everything, he might as well do the job himself. So the responsibility of a steward is to manage well, because there is a lot of trust that is given to them. There is a lot of leeway that is given to them. However, there could be at times, unknown to the steward, that the owner would come and check up on things. Such was the case in the story that Jesus told. In Matthew 25, why don't you take a moment and turn there with me in your Bibles. Matthew 25, and you begin reading in verse 14. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. So he entrusted something to his servants. Suddenly, they became stewards. It tells us that he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Verse 19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. See, there's something about stewardship you need to understand. You are managing something underneath your care that has been deposited to you. And it's important that as a steward that we manage well, because there is going to come an inspection period. There's going to come an accounting, if you would. Here in the story that Jesus tells us is that after a long time, the master returned from his trip and he was ready for his stewards, if you would, to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Oh, I love how the New Living Translation puts that. Hey, let's celebrate together. So the servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 24, then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth." Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why did you not deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they will have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here we see a great example of the responsibility of a steward. And Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians. It is required of a steward to be found faithful. The goal is faithfulness. Faithfulness means to carry out fully the duties discharged to you as a servant of Jesus Christ. Particular in this context, the duties discharged to Paul and Apollos as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the aim, the responsibility of a steward in the kingdom of God is to be faithful. And that word faithful in the original simply means trustworthy, dependable, reliable. As we take this story that Jesus shared and Matthew records, what a great example for us as our Heavenly Father, our Master, has given us responsibilities, gifts, talents, seed, if you would. One day he's going to come back and he's going to expect what we've done. He's going to ask for an account. I want to be found faithful. See, what the owner was looking for in Matthew 25 was faithfulness. Faithfulness with what he had entrusted to his servants. That's why he told the first two, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you back up one chapter in Matthew 24, verse 45, Jesus said this on another occasion, "A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them." See, a steward is one who's been given responsibility. Paul recognized that he had a responsibility and that his goal was to be faithful. And I think tonight you and I realize that we've been given responsibility from the Lord, and our goal too is to be found faithful. Let me read a couple of other verses to you. One is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him." When I read that, I thought, and I asked even myself this question, does the Lord consider me trustworthy? Will he relinquish responsibility to me? Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant." So here is Paul describing one of his co-workers, Epaphras. He says he's a beloved co-worker and he is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. I want to be remembered as Christ's faithful servant. So just for a moment, let me talk to you about how can you and I be faithful. Ask yourself this question: what are some ways I can be faithful? I can be faithful to what God's called me to do. What are some ways that I can be faithful and you can be faithful to what God has entrusted you with? I thought of several things. Let me give them to you. Show up every day. You want to be faithful where God's planted you? Show up every day. Show up to that job ready. Show up to your family being present. Show up to your friends. Show up every day mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally. Show up every day. How can you be faithful? Make a determination to manage well. In other words, be responsible. Good things just don't happen. You got to work some things out. Manage well. Another thing you got to do is make a determination you're not going to neglect. Go back to that story in Matthew 25. The one who was given 5 bags of silver, guess what? He managed well. He didn't neglect what was given to him. He invested, and because of that, he got a return. The second one did the exact same thing. He had 2 bags of silver, and he managed it well. But the third one, who was given 1, it says that he was fearful, and he understood the nature and the character of the master. So he buried it in the ground. You call that neglect. We, as stewards, cannot neglect the things that God has entrusted to us. You have to keep an eye on your responsibilities. How are you to be faithful? How can you be faithful? How do you be faithful? Put your hand to the plow. Put your hands to the plow. Jesus said this in Luke 9, verse 62. Jesus told them, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So put your hands to the plow. Other words, be committed and go all in. As a steward, you must be committed and go all in. Now here in Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is dealing with the division that has affected the church. There was spiritual competition going on. So Paul wanted to lay that to rest. And he wanted them to realize that he, Apollos, and any other spiritual leader that came along, they were simply servants, mere servants. They were like the ones in the bottom of the ship using the oars to help the ship move on. They were there to serve the betterment of the ship. He says, you know what? We're stewards. We're guys who are there to manage something. We're there to administrate. So this spiritual competition that's going on should really not be among God's people, because it's really not us, like he spoke about in chapter 3. It's not he who plants, it's not he who waters, it's God who gives the what? The increase. And Paul was reminding them that he and Apollos are mere servants. Which brings us to our last point. With this thought of having a proper view of ourselves and not our position, this idea of being faithful, the ultimate goal, because we're stewards, let's talk just for a moment about Inspection Day. Inspection Day is coming. Look back at verse 3. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, Paul says, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It's the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. Did you hear that? It is the Lord himself who will examine me. The Lord himself will be the one coming back and said, hey, I gave you 5 bags of silver. Tell me what you did with those 5 bags of silver. Hey, I gave you 2 bags. Tell me what you did. Verse 5 reads this way, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due him. See, what mattered is not what the Corinthians thought of Paul. What mattered was not what the Corinthians thought of his performance or his abilities. Yes, he was their servant, but he was in service to the Lord with whom he was responsible to. Let's think about that just for a moment. Verse 3, he says, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. See, Paul had reached a place of personal security, being secure in who he was. I think it's very important that as ministers and as followers of Christ, that we must learn how to be secure in our calling, in our ministry, in our giftings. What a beautiful place to reach when we're not performing for others, but we have the audience of one. Think about how many people are controlled by what others think or may say about them. And because they're concerned more with what others may say or think of them, then they alter what they may do or say. Paul then turns his attention on what he himself may think on this matter. It says what we think of ourselves. He says it's not even what we may think or evaluate ourselves. Matter of fact, Paul said, I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. See, Paul was not going to trust his own thoughts on these matters, even though he knew of nothing that would condemn himself. Paul was talking about his own faithfulness as a steward of what God had given him. And then he brings out this truth, the Lord will examine. So who are we to judge? Who are we to say this or that about God's servants? It's the Lord himself, verse 4, who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring our deepest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Examine and decide. See, the Lord will evaluate and bring judgment on these matters. Now, that's a great thought, but that's a fearful thought. And Paul brings out the truth in the second part of verse 5. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light and reveal our private motives. Wow. This is why it's important that as stewards, individuals given a responsibility from the Lord, that our goal be, let's be found faithful. Because one day, God is going to judge and bring an account, and we will have to answer. So Paul told the Corinthian church, this thing about saying Paul is better or Apollos is better or Cephas is better. Hey, you got to leave that with God, because God knows the motive and the heart of each one. Paul was honest. He says, I don't even trust myself in this. Even though my conscience is clear, yet it is God who will determine. Now, that's a good place to rest. It is God who will determine. God will reward. Yes, he will reward accordingly. So we may make it our goal to please him. Paul writes this in his second letter to Corinth in chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. He said this, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. So let's wrap this up. There's competition going on within the church of Corinth. They are infatuated with leaders. And Paul is just simply saying and bringing correction to them. He says, we're mere servants. Matter of fact, we're the ones on the bottom of the ship. We've got the paddles in our hand, and we're trying to make this thing move. But not only that, we're stewards, and our accountability is to God and not not you. It's not what you say about us or what you think about us that makes us approved to God. It's what we're doing as stewards with what's been entrusted to us. So this idea of judging one another, this idea of saying, oh, this one is right, this one is great, and this one's more superior, let's leave that with God, because one day we're going to give an account, and God's going to judge every motive of the hearts, every attitude, and God will reward. Now, as a steward, let's make it our goal to please Him. Listen to what He writes in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Closing with that, let us be good stewards. May we make it our goal to be found faithful. Faithful to His purpose. Faithful to the calling that He's placed upon us. Faithful to the responsibilities that He has entrusted to us. Faithful to what is before us. Let's be secure in our calling. The apostle reached a place where he could honestly say, your opinion of me is not going to sway me, because I'm first of all a servant and a steward of the Lord Most High. And we always keep before us that inspection day is coming. The owner of it all is going to return, and he is going to want to have an account given to him. And may our goal be to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. So let's celebrate together. I love that phrase. Let's celebrate together. Remember who you are. You are a servant of the Lord. You are a steward of God. Be faithful. Don't be so concerned and manipulated by the thoughts and the opinions of others. Be true to what God's called you to do, realizing that one day each of us will give an account to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you the opportunity, Lord, that we have to study your word. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that in the responsibilities that you have given us, that we would be found faithful. Remove those things in our life that are hindering us. Help us to be secure in our calling. Help us to be secure in who we are in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.